Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Every Nation online service. My name's Sheena. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. I just want to take a moment to pray today. Early in the week, we had a horrific incident in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where a man by the name of Jacob Blake was shot multiple times. And we don't know all the outcome right now, but what we do as a church want to do is pray. And so I just want to lift this man up. He's a father. He has a fiance, and he's a son. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just pray for Jacob. God, we pray, God, that you would just give him the ability to heal properly. God, we pray for his children. God, who witnessed this horrific incident. We pray, God, that, Lord, you would bless them. I pray, God, peace in their home. And God, I just pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, your will would be done in this situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're going to continue in our sermon series, Love Is. Last week, Pastor Bruce spoke very well on a great topic, talking about how love is not irritable and love is not resentful. And those words interchange a little bit. Irritable means not being grumpy, and resentful means not being unforgiving. And I really want to highlight that word unforgiving, because today, as we talk about love, takes no pleasure in evil but rejoices in truth. That word evil is sin, or that word is folly. And it kind of interchanges in what Pastor Bruce talked about, is when somebody falls into something that is negative or something that is not right, sometimes we want justice. We want something to happen to them. And so right here, this scripture verse is basically highlighting that we're not to rejoice in someone's folly. We're not to rejoice in someone's sin. We're not to get excited when somebody so-called gets what they deserve. That's not the love of God. And so today, one of the verses that really jumps out to me is in 1 Peter 4:8. It says this, is that love covers a multitude of sin. And when we talk about love according to 1 Corinthians 13, we're talking about the agape love. We're talking about the love that Jesus demonstrated on the cross. And when it says that he covered a multitude of sin, he didn't have to do that. Jesus could have left us alone here on earth, but no, it was the love of the Father sending his son to die on a cross for you and I. And that sin nature, that sin that separated us from him, God wanted to reconcile us back to him. And so that love that he demonstrated on the cross is the love that he wants us to demonstrate as well. And so today, as we get into this scripture verse, I want us to ask God. That's the word that we're going to really focus. Ask God. Ask God to do what? Ask God to search our heart. Ask God to open our eyes. And we want to ask God to use us. And so right here it says this, my first point I want to make is that God, we're asking God to open our eyes. Why is that? Because if you're concentrating or you're focusing on somebody and what they've done, and you're saying, man, I want something to happen to them because they did me wrong, or something came up in my life and it didn't work out well, and I want something bad to happen to that man or woman that caused it, you know, we want God to open our eyes to see people the way that he sees people. See, in God's eyes, we're sons and daughters. And it says here in Luke 6:42, it says, how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own? It says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You know, Jesus saw us a different way than the world sees us. He sees us as sheep without a shepherd. He wants to come after us. He wants to love on us. He wants to draw us close. And we want to ask God to open our eyes the same way. Help us to see people the way that he sees them. We're not to rejoice in someone's sin. We're not to rejoice in someone's failure. We're not to cheer when calamity falls onto somebody. You know, there's a story in the Bible when Jesus came upon the adulterous woman. And you remember how the men or the mob was saying this. They were ready to stone her because they caught her in adultery. But Jesus, being full of grace, being full of mercy, he looked up and said this to the men. He said this. He says, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And that's what we have to understand, is that there are sin things that we have in our life. There are things that we have going on, and then we can't be the one to point the finger and say this person this or this person that. No, we have to be full of grace and full of mercy, just like Jesus was with the adulterous woman. And why was this so significant? It was significant because the people that were yelling to stone her because she was committing adultery were the same people doing the same thing that she was caught in as well. And so it's very important for us to also ask God to open our eyes. Help us to see people the way he sees people. You know, coming up in this political season, it's going to be rough. You know, you're going to have Democrats, you're going to have Republicans, you're going to have liberals, you're going to have conservatives, you're going to have independents, you're going to have a lot of things going on, and people doing things that may be contrary to what you believe or what I believe. But we have to see those people the same way that Jesus sees them. He loves them. Also, going through situations right now with the social injustices, you know, things have not been resolved with Breonna Taylor, and there's people that demand justice, and we need to see this justice take place. But also, we got to pray for God to open the eyes of people to see the truth behind what's going on, and so that justice, the real justice, can be served. But it also says this, but rejoice in truth. Truth, you know, what is truth? Truth is the accurate representation of reality. Basically, it's this. We want goodness. We want to see the good in people. We want to see the best in people, how people should be, how God has designed us to be, you know, to be morally upright, to do what's right when everybody in the world may be doing wrong. You know, the scripture verse says this in Psalms 119:18. It says this, open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. You know, God's word is not a burden. God's word is a blessing. And when we do God's word and we do things his way, those instructions become a blessing. They become joyful. They become things that we want to do. And just like it said here with the adulterous woman, Jesus was able to do this. The woman looked up full of joy because someone intervened on her behalf. And because of that, you know what? She followed the Lord. And that's what we're ultimately after, is that when people are in their folly or people are in their sin, we're not to rejoice. We're asking God to have grace, have mercy on them, give them an opportunity to repent, give them an opportunity to confess their faults, because it's so important to see a man or a woman restored back to what it is God's created them to be. My second point is this, is that we need to ask God to search our heart. You know, our heart sometimes can be evil and our heart can be wicked. And I've heard it said that whatever has your heart has you. And it's so important for God to search our heart. Like the Bible says in Psalms 139:23-24, it says this, search me, O God, know my heart and test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting life. You know, God has to search our hearts, you know, with the heart one believes. And we have to be careful what we allow to get inside of our heart. We don't want to get bitter. We don't want to get deceitful. You know, hurt people. So when we get hurt, sometimes out of our heart and our nature and our characters to go hurt others. You know, when we're talking about searching our heart, we got to be open and honest with what's going on out there. If there is an offense, if there is anger, if there is bitterness, we got to allow God to go deep and to extract out of our hearts those things that we need to extract out of it. You know, sometimes even in our hearts, we can get full of pride. We can get full of arrogance. We can get full of so many things that are contrary to the word of God. You know, I'm reminded of David in the Bible. You know, David was a young shepherd boy and God elevated him. And through that process, he loved the Lord. He worshiped God. But, you know, David got caught in something. He got caught in adultery. He got caught in a situation that was ungodly and unrighteous. And he tried to cover it up. You know, it's amazing how we try to cover up things, how we try to act like that didn't happen or God didn't see this. You know, come on, he's the maker of heaven and earth. He can see all things. He knows all things. So it's better just to confess, to be quick to repent and be quick to forgive, because God will honor that, restores that joy, it restores that communion. But if you remember in the story, David tried to cover it up after he killed Bathsheba's husband. And, you know, the prophet Nathan came to him and laid out this story about how a young goat was stolen from somebody, and how David was offended when he heard this story about how this man took this animal away unjustly from this person. And he said, what should I do to a man that's done this, has lived this way? And David was quick to point it out. He says, man, you need to kill him. You need to deal with him. Where is this man at? And you know what? The prophet Nathan pointed to him and said, that's you. You know, it's amazing sometimes that when we are on our high horse or we're on our soapboxes, how we can begin to be critical and judgmental and begin to point out things and look at things. And we want bad things to happen to people, maybe if we've been done wrong. But that's not the gospel. That's not how God is. God is merciful. God is kind. And God wants us to repent. You know, after David got called out in his circumstance, in his situation, the scripture verse that he's prayed was this in Psalms 51:10. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Basically, what he's saying is remove the evilness, remove the wickedness, remove the vileness in me, and make me like you. And that's the prayer. God, search my heart. Break my heart for what breaks yours. You know, God's heart breaks for the creation. His heart breaks when he sees the things going on in the world. His heart breaks when things are happening that are contrary to how he's made us and created us to be, to be in communion, to be in fellowship. God's heart breaks when there's strife and division in the church. God's heart breaks when he hears things happening to the young ones, the children. You know, God's heart breaks when he hears of divorce and loss in family. God's heart breaks. You know, we also have to have our hearts searched, because some things that we do breaks the heart of the Lord. You know, God is amazing and God is merciful and gracious. But you know, sometimes God will allow circumstances and situations to cause us to turn back to him when we don't want to turn back to him. You know, there's a scripture verse in Proverbs 1, 24 through 28, and it talks about how God will extend his hand in your trouble, in your hurt, in your pain to try to rescue you. But sometimes we'll stiff arm God, or we'll give God the Heisman, and we think we can figure this thing out. We want to do it our way instead of God's way. And you know what? God says, hey, have at it. And you know, when that calamity or that disaster comes on us, God says, I'm going to step back and I'm going to have to allow you to deal with that situation. And you know, that's not fun. He says, they all cry out. And he says, I won't answer. And that's a scary place to be. And so I want to encourage us today to always submit to the Lord, to let him search your heart, to let him open your eyes, so that you too won't rejoice in someone's folly, but you'll rejoice in the goodness and the blessing of a person's life. And I'll close with this, my third point. Ask God to use you to be a part of the change. You know, it's funny how people will point out stuff. This is bad, she's bad, he's bad, that's bad. But you know what? If it's so bad, why don't you step up and change it? Get in the game, throw your life into it, be a part of the change, be a part of the solution. Who knows, you may have the answer that can shift things in our culture, that can shift things in our society. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 2:21. It says, those who make themselves clean from all those evil things will be used for special purposes, because they are dedicated and useful to their master, ready to be used for every good deed. You know, when you allow God to cleanse your heart and you allow God to open up your eyes and to get the plank or the log or the mote or to get that blurred vision out of your eye, what we call sin, what we call being critical, what we call being hypocritical. You know, sometimes, you know, it's amazing God will use you, because when you've experienced things and you've gone through things and your back's been against the wall and you've been at rock bottom and God has brought you up, he's cleaned you up. Now he can use you. He can use you for some great things in society. And right now we need people to step up and be used by the Most High God. I know out there you're like, Pastor, there's some things I probably can't do. I'm just here in quarantine. I'm just here in my house. You know, it doesn't cost to pray. Anybody can pray. Prayer changes things. But you know, there's other ways to get in the game. Some people have the ability to sow, to give, to get behind the cause, to make things go. And sometimes God will say, you know what, I need you. I need you to get up and get out and go do some things for me. And so what we're talking about today is this. Once God cleans us up, when God makes us whole, we can be used by the Most High God for great things. And we're talking about truth. See, when you encounter the truth in Jesus, according to John 14, 6, it says this, that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. When you encounter Jesus, things will have to change. When you have that confrontation with the Lord, things will change. Your life will change. You'll never be the same. And that's what we're talking about. Jesus, his love. His love is true. And the Bible says this in John 8, 32, that it says this. It says that the truth will set you free. And when you encounter Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life, your life can't but be different. And so I want to encourage you today to allow God to reach in to your heart and to take away those bitterness, the anger, the rage. You know, set aside Instagram. Set aside Twitter. Set aside these things that are marring our eyes. You know, I've heard it say that our eyes are the windows of our soul. And so we have to be careful what we're allowing in. You know, you glance at that screen long enough, you get angry, you get mad, and you get worried about what's going on in the world. But I know this, there's a God in heaven who's in control. Our Jesus is sitting on the throne and he's ruling and reigning well. And he's always intervening on our behalf. And he wants to reach out of heaven today. And he wants to take you and raise you up to do something great. But at the root of all of it, it has to be love. It has to be the love that he had. Remember this, there was no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for his friends, and that love covered a multitude of sin. Don't rejoice in someone's folly. Don't get excited when someone hits rock bottom or they get some things done to them because of their lifestyle. Man, have mercy. God, have mercy. But rejoice when people come to the truth. They come to the saving knowledge of who Jesus is, and he sets them free. Rejoice in that. So let's take a moment to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you rejoice when a man or a woman gives their life to you. You rejoice when someone turns from a lifestyle that is contrary to your word and they give their life to you. You rejoice when they encounter your truth, your word, your doctrine. God, I thank you that you rejoice. But Lord, right now, there's probably someone watching this that knows that they need to come back to you, that they need to give their life back to you. God, I thank you that through this message, through this screen, whether they're on a phone, whether they're on a computer, whether they're in front of a television, I don't know, but wherever they are, I thank you for your presence right now to change their life. And God, it all starts with the heart. So if you're out there today and you say, Pastor, I need a fresh start. This word is ministering to me. I'm angry about what's going on in politics. I'm angry about the situation with COVID. I've been locked up. I've been in quarantine. I can't get out. I can't do what I want to do. There's some things going on in my life. I need to change it, but I can't change it. I'm furious right now with the social injustice. Every time I cut the screen on, the TV on, there's another shooting. There's another heinous act. God, I'm angry and I need to be delivered from that. I need to get out of what I'm seeing and hearing, and I need to step into your ways and your will. That's you today. I just want you to bow your head where you are and we're going to pray. We're going to ask Jesus, the Almighty God, to come into your life and to change it, so that he can use you and that people can rejoice because you've come to the saving knowledge, that you come to the one and only, true one and only living God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all the good you've done and the good you continue to do. We thank you that this is the day that you made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, and that today is the day of salvation for someone out there this morning. God, I pray that, Lord, you would forgive them. I pray, God, as they open up their mouth and they confess you as Lord, and they open up their heart and they ask you to come and live inside of them, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray now that there'll be a supernatural change in their life. Now, God, I pray that as they believe that you are the Son of God and that God raised you from the dead, according to your word, you said that they're saved. And as they've spoken that out of their mouth, I believe now that they are saved, according to your word in Romans 10:9. So, Father, bless them, and may your face shine upon them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you for joining us. We're going to continue in our Love Is series next week. And now it's time for Pastor Bruce.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.